Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
A tremendous verse of scripture in John chapter 10, John chapter 10, verse 10. And we're really thinking about the second half of this verse, by the way, but I'll read the whole verse. Jesus said, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." Now watch this. Here's the second part of John chapter 10, verse 10. "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Life more abundantly. Now, when you read that verse of Scripture, you might ask a question that's been asked before. When Jesus said that they might have it more abundantly, is he talking about now, here on the earth, or is he talking about abundant life that we'll have hereafter in heaven? Life more abundantly, promised by the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 10, verse 10. Is both now, while we are here on the earth, and later in eternity. Both of them. The reason some preachers shy away from talking about the life more abundantly here is that a lot of prosperity preachers have manipulated Christ's words to preach a superabundant financial life here. Most of this kind of preaching is just rooted in covetousness. That's all it is. They've made an idol out of money, and so they talk about it all the time. And the Lord warned about covetousness in Luke chapter 12. He said, if you want to measure the quality of your life, don't measure it by the abundance of your possessions. Take heed and beware of covetousness. This is Luke chapter 12, verse 15. Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. So the trouble with the doctrine of prosperity preaching is it obviously runs contrary to Luke chapter 12, verse 15, but it also runs contrary to the example that we have in Paul the Apostle. Paul had an abundant life, but he only had a few possessions. Jesus Christ had an abundant life and died completely broke. His last possessions were five articles of clothing that were taken by the soldiers. So our abundant life cannot be measured in money. Our abundant life cannot be measured in an increase of possessions. When the church, and I'm talking about the body of Christ. We are now in the Laodicean age of the church, right up here before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you get that from looking at the churches in the book of Revelation. They kind of lay over the history of the church so that when you get toward the end, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, that church is Laodicea. And when the church measures life more abundantly like the church in Laodicea, by wealth, of which it has an abundance. You know what the church thinks? She thinks she's in great shape. But the church is not in great shape. The church is in miserable shape today. Revelation chapter 3, Revelation chapter 3, you know, when these letters are addressed to the angels of these churches, the last one addressed is the church of the Laodiceans. And the Lord says in Revelation 3:17, "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing." And in fact, the church was rich in possessions. It was increased with goods. Money, I have need of nothing. You know what the Lord said? You've measured yourself incorrectly. He said, "Knowest and knowest not that thou art rich." wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. You see, the church is in miserable shape. Why? Because it wants to measure itself by wealth and by abundance of possessions. That's why we're not prosperity preachers. That's why we don't, at the same time, want to shy away from this verse, John chapter 10, verse 10, talking about the abundant life in Christ, because we know it doesn't have anything to do with the abundance of our possessions and the abundance of our wealth. God may have blessed you with that, and you may know how to handle and be content with those possessions. But then again, he may not have. And the question is, what is this abundant life if we can have some of it now? Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. What was he talking about? He was talking about things like the abundance of the Holy Spirit. We know that when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we also are possessed by the Spirit of God. In other words, he comes to take up residence inside of us. The Bible says that we are baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ. Some people, and I don't want to dwell on this, have made the baptism by the Holy Spirit some subsequent event to salvation, but that's not true. Not according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, not according to John chapter 3, verse 6. Whatsoever is born of the flesh is flesh, and whatsoever is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said to thee, you must be born again. Do you get born again? The Spirit of God is in there. All right? There's not a, you may have a subsequent surrender. I see that frequently, where you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and you're saved. And then you live a little bit longer like you did before you got saved, and you realize there's so much more in Christ, and then you surrender. It's kind of like the sacrifice of Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You do that, you may sense that the Spirit of God has more control, but he's been there ever since the day you got saved. Now, we see also, though, that even the apostles who were had the Spirit of God in Acts chapter 2, in Acts chapter 4, have been praying, and they're filled with the Spirit of God. So there are subsequent fillings. It's kind of like taking a bottle of Coca-Cola, like when we were kids, and shaking it up and getting the fizz all over the place. Well, that's kind of what happens. You get shaken up by the Spirit of God. That place where they were praying in Acts chapter 4, verse 31 was shaken. And you know what happens? Then there is an abundance of the Spirit of God, so much so that the presence of the Spirit in our lives is like rivers of living water flowing out of our bellies. John chapter 7, verses 38 and 39. John chapter 7, verses 38 and 39. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. That's an amazing thing. And oftentimes when we pray for you, we pray that God would use you as a vessel through whom he would speak as he desires to anybody under any circumstance about himself, about eternal life, about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And where the Lord just has something that he wants to say and he uses you to say it, and it's the Spirit of God in you that allows you and truly abundantly fills you so that you don't want to retain in yourself all that you have of God. It comes flowing out. And other people are affected by your life, they're affected by your testimony, they're affected by your witness, and it's the Spirit of God who is bringing glory to God as he lives out his life in you. And I'm going to tell you something, that the abundance of the presence of the Spirit of God in your life is part of that abundant life in Jesus Christ, life more abundant. And I'll tell you, honestly, you just compare your life with the Spirit of God to what your life was like before you had the Spirit of God in there. And I'm telling you, there is a drastic difference. We had to go out and try to find pleasure and make pleasure before the Spirit of God was in us, and now that we have the Spirit of God, pleasure resides within us. Life is pleasant and abundant in Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. What else is that? Well, not only is it the Spirit of God, but the fruit of the Spirit of God. In Galatians chapter 5, in verses 22 and 23, we find the fruit of the Spirit. It's one fruit, and yet it manifests itself in nine different characteristics. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Look at all that. The reason I like to stress that it's one fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, and manifests itself in all these, there are some people who like to talk about how much they love other people, but they are not long-suffering, they're not gentle, and they're not meek, and they're not temperate. Well, then I'm going to tell you that love that's coming out of them may be more of their own love and not so much of the fruit of the Spirit of God. Because when that fruit is growing, it's all in bloom. The love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, the gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance, all in bloom. And you know something? The Lord desires that we have an abundance of that fruit in our lives. Not just a little bit of love and a little bit of joy, a little bit of peace and all those other things, but lots of it, plenty of it, more, way more than we need. Why? Because, again, turn to John chapter 15. That fruit in our lives brings glory to Him, but it also brings others to Jesus Christ. And He died for them. So in John chapter 15, in verses 1 through 8, we won't read the whole passage, but you're reading about the true vine, that's Jesus Christ. You're reading about the husbandman, that's the Father, and you're reading about the branches, that's you and me, if you have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And in that vine, it is the desire of the husbandman, our Father, that we bear fruit. So much so that He'll purge us so we can bear more fruit in verse 2. He says in verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. See, the Lord is looking for much, for an abundance. Verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. That's the purpose. The Westminster Confession, I saw it when I was in high school. It was back in the back of the study hall at the school that I went to. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. You know what that is? That comes, that glorification to God comes from an abundance of the fruit of the Spirit of God born in our lives. Jesus said, I have come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. I'm going to tell you, He meant for that to begin here when you get saved, not after you have completed your life here when you get to heaven. And when you have an abundance of the Spirit of God and the fruit of the Spirit in your life, then you know the next thing that you find you have an abundance of? Contentment. Contentment. In Hebrews chapter 13, in verse 5, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So the Lord wants us to be content with the things that we have. And I'll tell you what, we don't come by contentment naturally, okay? The reason after I got saved as a young man that I veered for a period of time in my life is that I didn't even attempt to find contentment in Jesus Christ. I was discontent. And after I saw what kind of fruit can be born when you are not living a life pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'll guarantee you I started finding and looking for and finding contentment in the Lord. Philippians chapter 4, what I didn't know already, I learned. Like Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, verses 11, 12, and 13. Paul had received a gift from the Philippians, and he said, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Now, he didn't know it, but he learned it. He said in verse 12, I know. So he learned the lesson. Now he says, I know. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. In other words, he wasn't always without. There were times when he was abased, but there were also times when he had plenty. He knew how to abound. Everywhere, and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Why? Because he found an abundance of contentment in the Lord Jesus Christ, even in the absence of necessities. Now, that's the kind of contentment you want, and that's the kind of contentment we have in Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ said, I have come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. Let me tell you something. When you have contentment, the rest of everything else makes no difference. It doesn't make any difference if somebody else you know and love has so much more than you do. It doesn't make any difference. It doesn't make any difference if you have a big house or a little house, a new car, an old car. It doesn't make any difference. Because you don't look for contentment in the things that you possess. You look for contentment in Jesus Christ. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Oh, and when you find contentment in Jesus Christ, it doesn't make any difference where you are, what your circumstances are, what your possessions are. It doesn't make any difference. That's not how you measure the abundance of your life. You measure it in the abundance of your contentment. But you know something? The Lord knows how to take care of his children. So there's another thing. When he said, I have come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. Well, Mark chapter 10 shows us something. And it shows us that we have an abundance of the forsaken things in our lives. Look at this. This is an interesting verse. Mark chapter 10, the verses we want are 28, 29, and 30. Peter began to say unto him, Lo, we have left all and have followed thee. And they did. Peter was a fisherman. He left his nets. He left his business. James and John left their nets, their boats, their father. They left everything to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, when you go out there and minister, don't take anything with you. Just take one coat, pair of shoes. You know, don't even take a purse. Because where you go, people will take care of you. They didn't have anything. So he said, Lo, we have left all and followed thee. Watch what Jesus says in verse 29. Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake and the gospel's. Listen, but he shall receive an hundredfold now. In this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. You know what he said? You give up some things now for me and for the sake of the gospel, and you'll have those now, albeit with persecutions, a hundredfold. What's he talking about? You know, if you're the first person saved in your family, and you start trying to tell your family members about the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to get some strange looks. And you're going to hear some bad things about yourself. Because a lot of times, at first, they don't want to go along with you. Sometimes they do, but a lot of times they don't. A lot of times they ostracize you. There are people who have come to the Lord Jesus Christ and left their homes and their families here in the United States to travel to a foreign country and live there to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. We have friends literally all over the world who are serving God as missionaries, people we know personally, fields we have visited, people we have helped send. They've forsaken these things. And you know what the Lord said? I'll give you a hundredfold in this time now. Houses and brethren and sisters and fathers and mothers. And I'll tell you what happens to them is they grow so close to the people that they love on the fields. They have hundreds of sisters and brothers, mothers and fathers, places where they are welcome to stay. I could tell you, and I'm not going to do it now because we won't be able to finish the message, but they didn't give up anything. They did, but they got so much in return. And it came, listen, by not trying to accumulate. It came by walking away from some of those things. And the Lord took care of them and will continue to take care of them. You know what he says? Don't worry about it. I've come that they might have life, and they might have life it more abundantly. So don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Anything you need, I can handle. And I can give it to you 100 times more than what you walk away from. Don't worry about it. When he says, I've come that they might have life, and that they might have life more abundantly, How about the grace of God? In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 to 10, Paul had a thorn in the flesh, and it was given to him. It was a minister of Satan to buffet him because he received these great revelations from God, and God didn't want him to get a big head about it, get proud about it. Paul prayed to God that thorn would be taken from him, and God said, "My grace is sufficient for thee." And you know what Paul learned? When I am weak, I am strong. That's what he learned. And he was strengthened by the grace of God. And there is an abundance of the grace of God to help you in time of need. That's why the Lord says in Hebrews 4:16, "Therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that you might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." There is no limit to God's grace. And it is always there to minister to you, not in your strength, but in your weakness. "My strength is made perfect in weakness," what the Lord said. And it comes by the grace of God, and there is more than you need. It's abundant. "I have come that might have life, and that might have life more abundantly," Jesus said. How about the abundance of peace? We have peace with God now that we're saved, according to Romans chapter 5. And Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." You know, I deal with a lot of folks in a lot of different circumstances. And you know one thing that is common among most people? They need peace. They need peace. They want peace. And you know something? There is an abundance of peace with God. And that peace passeth all understanding when you pray with thanksgiving. In other words, you don't understand why it comes to you. You don't understand where it comes from. But I'm going to tell you, when it comes and settles you down, you can go through anything. Absolutely. When Jesus Christ was in that boat asleep and his disciples thought for sure they were going to capsize, the Lord was asleep in that boat. When they woke him up, he said, "Peace, be still," and everything calmed down. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ will do to your life. He'll just say to the winds and the waves, "Peace, be still," and he will settle things down. Now, you'll have some water to bail out of the boat. Okay. All right, but you can do it in peace. Romans 5:5 talks to us about the love of God that is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Jesus Christ said, "I've come that they might have life and have it more abundantly." How about the abundance of the love of God? So much so that it is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. I think it's very important to love people. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ told us to do. He said, "Love your enemies." He said, "Love the brethren. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples and that you have love one for another." You know, I get that. But you know something? I don't come by that kind of love naturally. That's not in me. But once the Lord Jesus Christ is in there, once the Holy Spirit is in there, and that abundance of life kicks in, the thing that he promised, suddenly there is a capacity to love that wasn't there before. And it's abundant because it is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And you look at that and think, how in the world? I know how it is. Jesus said, "I have come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly." You say, "Well, I don't sense that I love that way." Then tap into what's in there. That's why he told you it's there. You know, a man might have a house right on top of the greatest oil reserves that he could ever imagine. But if he doesn't tap into them, he doesn't ever produce them. He never reaps the royalty. So if you got the love of God in you, tap in. And then one other thing, Titus chapter 2, verse 14 tells us that, you know, that when we get saved, God separates us and makes us a peculiar people. Titus chapter 2, verse 14, "Who gave himself," speaking of Jesus Christ, "who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." You know, when Jesus Christ talked about the kind of works that you and I could do, he said something that still baffles me in John chapter 14, verse 12. Now look at this, and this is an amazing verse. John chapter 14, verse 12, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. You look at that and think, wow. There's an abundance of good works that we can do. And some of these, Jesus Christ said, are greater than the works that he did. You know, listen, when you have an abundance of the grace of God, the peace of God, the love of God, God's given you some things back that you forsook, and he's got contentment and the fruit of the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's in there. You know something that you want to do? You want to do something good for God. It's just in you. I mean, it's in you because of the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in you. It's in you because of what Jesus Christ has done for you. It's in you because of the new life that you have. You just want to do something good for him because you love him. And you know what? He gives you something good to do for him. I cannot imagine right now that I am standing here preaching a message that you're listening to, not after I consider where I came from, not after I consider what God had to do in my life to allow me to be in the ministry. I am humbled and shocked and awed by it. But am I ever so grateful? Being able to preach to you on the radio is a good thing. Jesus never did it. He said that's something he never did. And the audience is vast. Greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Isn't that an amazing thing? I'm shocked, but am I ever so grateful? Listen, there is life more abundantly in Jesus Christ right now. According to 1 John 5:12, without Jesus we have no life. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. His very presence in us is the essence and fullness of life. But you know what happens? Most people today just get choked out by the things of this world and never really enjoy his life more abundantly. And so, those who are choked lead anemic spiritual lives drained of all satisfaction in their salvation on this side of glory. That's sad. Don't let that happen to you. You walk in that abundant life given to you by the Lord Jesus Christ. Life more abundantly. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.